Wow. Yes, sir.
You know how we were talking about faith when I went back and talked to you at the beginning?
Yeah. Here. If you got something to say, say it to everybody.
Well, I was...
Hold on. Yeah.
I had been looking at scriptures and stuff throughout the Bible on faith, and I shared a little bit with the pastor before service, but as I was sitting here during worship time, he told me something. He said, a lot of people have faith that I have the power. They can absolutely believe that I can do it. But then they come short in faith because they say, will I do it for them?
Hmm.
Are they worthy? Do I value them enough to do what they need? Whether it be healing or a miracle. And he says, the value of a person is set by what somebody is willing to do.
Yep.
They say they set the price.
Hmm.
How high can I set the bar on your value? What I was willing to die,
yep,
to possess you.
Right.
So set aside these wanderings and ponderings that you have, for you're that important to me. The value is there, and I absolutely will do for you what you ask. So quit just thinking that I have the power to do it. But in faith, say, Father, I have need of this. Please do this for your glory and for the glory of my Father.
Amen. You said it there. Yeah. We shortchange ourselves because we shortchange the Lord. And last Sunday night we talked about Daniel. We talked about all that he went through as a, in the lion's den and those kinds of things. And tonight I want to start wrapping this series that we've been doing on prayer. I thought I'd wrap it up tonight, but I don't think I'm going to make it. I've got 7 pages of notes. Because the more you get, listen, and this is in no way exhaustive, okay? There's so much in God's Word in regards to prayer. But I can pretty much wrap it up by this statement. We don't pray enough. We don't pray enough. We don't pray enough. We don't pray, church, we don't pray like our lives depend on it. We don't pray like our lives depend on it. And in the New Testament, James was beheaded, right? He was beheaded. He was the first martyr. And the church, how many of you know the church prayed for him? And how many of you know he still lost his head? And right after that, immediately following that, Peter got arrested and thrown in jail. And the church prayed for Peter. They prayed for James and they prayed for Peter. How many of you know Peter was delivered? We wonder why. We wonder why does God heal one, save one, rescue one, deliver one, and allow the other to perish. We talked about that to some degree this morning in my message this morning. And so Peter, he's in prison. He's been arrested. And if you can, just imagine waking up to a miracle and having an angel as your alarm clock. Because that's exactly what happened to Peter when he was in prison, not for the first time, not for the second time, but for the third time. Peter is in prison for the third time. He's awaiting trial, and with that, knowing in the back of his mind that his fellow disciple James has just been beheaded by the same guy that put him in prison, and so he knows what's coming. He knows that he's facing certain death, and years later, and he wrote in his first epistle in 1 Peter, he may have had this miraculous experience in his mind, and as he was writing, he quoted Psalm 34, 15 and 16, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." See, that quotation summarizes with certainty what God did for Peter, and it reveals to us three wonderful assurances to encourage us in the difficult days of our lives. And so the early Christians prayed earnestly for Peter's release from prison, and God sent an angel to free him. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." So God watched and he noted what Herod the Agrippa was doing to his people. And Herod had several of the believers arrested, among them James, the brother of John, who we just talked about was beheaded. And James became the first apostle to be martyred. And if it pleased the Jews when James was killed, just think of how much delight, how much joy that they would get if he slayed Peter as well. Put an end to this outrage, to this uprising of these Christians. So God permitted Herod to arrest Peter, put him under heavy guard in prison. 16 soldiers. Can you imagine that? 16 soldiers Herod put. 4 for each watch. They kept guard over this dangerous, dangerous prisoner. 2 soldiers were in fact chained to Peter, and 2 watched the door. I mean, he had to do something, because the last time, if you remember, the last time that Peter was arrested and put in jail, he just mysteriously got out of jail. Herod was not about to let that happen again. How many of you know you got no say in what God does? Amen? Why was James allowed to die and Peter rescued? They were both dedicated servants of God, and they were both needed by the church. The only answer is, and it's going to sound, and I guess it probably is one of those pat answers, but I got nothing else other than the answer would be it was in the sovereign will of God. It was the very thing that Peter and the church had prayed about after their second experience of persecution. Herod had stretched forth his hand to destroy the church, but God would stretch forth his hand and perform signs and wonders and glorify his son. Acts chapter 2, or 4 rather, verse 28 and following. You can find out and read about it. God allowed Herod to kill James, but he kept him from harming Peter. It was in the throne in heaven that was in control. The throne room of heaven We're controlling the events on earth, not the throne on earth. And it's good to know that no matter how difficult the trials or how disappointing the news, God is still on the throne and has everything under control. Right down to your eyeglasses. He has everything under control. We don't always understand His ways, but we know that His sovereign will is best. We know that. 1 Peter 3:12, and His ears are open unto their prayers. The phrase, but constant prayer, is the turning point in this story. Peter's in prison, but the Bible says, but constant prayers were offered up. Constant prayers. They didn't give up. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. Never, listen, I don't know why, Michelle, I didn't have you put this up, but I didn't, and now I'm kicking myself. So just write this down. Never underestimate the power of a praying church. Never underestimate the power of a praying church. The Puritan preacher Thomas Watson said the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. It's prayer that gets the attention of God. It's prayer that moves heaven on your behalf or on someone else's behalf. Listen, if you are chained to two Roman soldiers, you were facing the possibility of being executed the next morning, how would you sleep? Peter was sound asleep. The angel of the Lord had to come on. He had to strike him. I don't know if he kicked him or if he whacked him with his angel's staff, or I don't know what he did, but he had to whack him to get him to wake up. Peter's out. He's facing death the next morning. He's chained to two soldiers. I can't even imagine that. Peter's out. In fact, Peter was so sound asleep that he had to be struck on the side to wake him up. The fact that he had been a prisoner twice before is not what gave him his calm heart. In fact, for that matter, this prison experience was different from the other two. This time, he was alone. Minus the guards, minus the soldiers. And the deliverance did not come right away. The other two times he was in prison, he was able to witness, but this time no special witnessing opportunities appeared. Peter's previous arrest had taken place after great victories, but this one followed the death of James, his dear friend and his colleague. And we can imagine that there was at least some level of grief that Peter was going through, having lost his comrade, his partner in arms. Peter's sound asleep. In my mind, it pictures a level of trust in God that I don't think we probably understand completely. Something of a relationship between him and the Lord. Yes, he'd walked for 3.5 years with Jesus, so there's that. We don't have that experience. We, by faith, have to live that. This was a new situation altogether. So the question begs to be asked, what gave Peter the confidence and the peace? Well, to begin with, the church was praying for him. The church was praying for him. Many believers, according to Acts 12 and 12, were praying for him. And listen, they didn't just come on Sunday night to church for prayer meeting to pray for Peter and then go home and watch Nightline. They kept it up all day long and all night long for a week. And it was those prayers that carried Peter through that time. It was those prayers that brought him the peace that he needed. According to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing. You're going to die in the morning. You're chained to two soldiers that are keeping, and there's two more of them at the door. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus." Can I just tell you something? At least in my humble opinion, Peter was living out, and his friends and his acquaintances and his people that he was in relationship with were living out the Scripture. They were living. It wasn't just a storybook to us. It wasn't just something we carry to church and never open at home. They didn't even really, for the most part, they didn't have the Bible like we did, but they did walk with Jesus. And so, in my opinion, I think that they've heard, they've believed, and they are walking it out. It's one thing to hear; it's another thing to believe, which is where 90% of the church stops. Well, I believe. Well, great. What are you doing with what you believe? Because that's where the action part comes in. That's where the responsibility part for us comes in. What am I doing with what I know and what I believe? Am I acting on it? Am I taking any steps of faith? Am I trusting God's going to see me through this entire thing? I feel like I've been on the backside of the desert for the last few years. I really do. I feel that way. And as I was preparing this stuff tonight, I getting ready for this Bible, it was like, man, I was just getting. Anybody with me on that? Please, somebody raise your hand. You know why? Because I bet you none of us spend the time of prayer with the Lord that we should be. We're not spending the time in God's Word, communicating with Him. Prayer isn't always just saying, "Hey, God, here's my Christmas list." It's saying, "God, thank you for what you've already done for me. Thank you for the lives that you've brought into this place, Lord. I'm so grateful for what you've done." Instead of just, "Lord, gimme, gimme, gimme." We need to have hands up, not hands out. There's a difference. Prayer has a way of reminding us of the promises of God's Word, such as, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Psalm chapter 4 and verse 8. Or how about this one in Isaiah 41 and 10? "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with my right hand of my righteousness." Those are promises of God. That is His Word. Those are declarations. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word and speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in chains." Paul is talking here. Paul, he's in prison again. Prayer and worship are perhaps the highest uses of the gift that we have been given called speech. Do you realize God said in His Word in Proverbs that the power of life and death is in your tongue? The power of life and death is in your tongue. What are you saying? Do we think before we speak? How many of you have ever said something and went, they're gone. They're just gone. You can't get them back. Oh, but I can say I'm sorry. Yeah, how's that working for you? Church, we got to slow down. We got to think about what we're saying. Paul was not ashamed to ask his friends to pray for him. Even though he was an apostle, he needed prayer support for himself and for his ministry. I'm the pastor. I need prayer. Tammy needs prayer. We need prayer support to get. She's asked me to put some things together on paper of where I want to see the church go in the next year. You know how overwhelming that is to me? It just stuns me. It paralyzes me to try and think, God, it isn't about what I want. God, what do you want? I'm like, I have to write that down. I have to tell all of you what I feel like God wants this church to do. Do you even understand the pressure that can put on a guy? I'm serious, man. I'm not horsing around. I'm dead serious. God, what do you want this church to be like in 2024? God, where do you want this church to go? What do you want Benny to do? What do you want Dennis to do? What do you want Tim and Judy and Miss Prison? What do you want us to do? I got to hear from him. It's overwhelming. It's no wonder so many pastors walk away from ministry every year because of the pressure. These guys had it figured out, at least to some extent. Paul said, listen, church, I need you to pray. Peter's in prison. Church, you need to pray. The first time Peter got out of prison, remember when Peter got out of prison before and he came and knocked on the door? And the little gal goes to the door. She's like, oh, it's Peter. She didn't even open the door. She just goes back and says, hey, Peter's at the door. You're whacked. No, I'm not kidding you. Well, go open the door. They knew something about the effectiveness of prayer because they were able, they had practiced it. They'd experienced communicating with the Lord. And Paul wasn't afraid to say, listen, church, I need you to pray for me. Not only for me, but for the ministry that God has called us to. Church, we need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to pray. I'm reminded of the guy that was had whatever he had. It doesn't really even say what he had, but his buddies took him to see Jesus. And when they got him to Jesus, they couldn't get him into Jesus. Too many people were there. And so these guys packed this fella up on the roof. You know the story. They cut a hole in the roof, tie ropes on the pallet that he's on, and let him down right in front of Jesus. That's faith. That's saying, I ain't leaving here. I'm not quitting. We ain't leaving until our buddy gets the deliverance and the healing that he needs. Can I tell you, it wasn't that guy's faith. It was not that guy's faith. It was them four dudes that packed him up on the roof and let him down, cut a hole in the roof. It was their faith. And Jesus saw their faith and he rewarded their faith. What kind of craziness are we doing to get the attention of God? If a great Christian, an apostle, a disciple like Paul felt the need for prayer support, how much more do you and I need this kind of spiritual help? I need your prayers. You need my prayers. We need one another's prayers. We need to get beyond ourselves and pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I need you to pray. You don't need, how many of you know you don't need all the details? You don't need all the little ins and outs and, well, what about this? Well, you don't need that. You've just been asked to pray. Well, but I want to pray specifically. I understand that. God, I specifically pray for this person that has called me on the phone and said they need prayer. Now, God, all I'm doing is being a point of contact between heaven and that person. You know every need that they have. You know every need that I have. I don't need all the juicy details. I just need to be obedient and to my friend and faithful to my friend and pray for 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 my other friend and pray for you and pray for everybody and just pray and pray and pray. Even though he was an apostle, he needed prayer for his ministry. He needed prayer for himself. Church, every one of us need every one of us. We need one another. We need one another. In these few words, Paul describes the characteristics of a satisfying and a spiritual prayer life. Number one, our praying must be faithful. Our praying, church, must be faithful. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. It means be steadfast in your prayer life. Be devoted. Don't quit. Be steadfast in your prayer life. Be devoted. Are we devoted, church, to prayer? I don't think so. I'm sorry to have to say that, but I wonder how devoted the church is today to prayer. Quiet in here. The reason why I feel like I can validate that statement is because if we were truly devoted to prayer and to seeking the face of God and communicating with Him and the reality that we have not been ones to quit, we would be seeing more of the hand of God move in our midst. It's a byproduct of our prayer life, seeing God move. The reality is, that's the way the early church prayed. When the Holy Ghost fell in that first meeting that they had in the upper room, when the Holy Ghost fell, what was going on in that room? Pardon me? What was that? I can't quite hear what you're saying.
One accord.
They were in one accord. They were in one accord. Yes, sir.
Their vocal cords. By the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the first experience I had. When the power of God falls on me, He gets a hold of my vocal cords. And He wakes me up in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I can attest to that because I've been privy to it. Yeah. Church, they were in one accord. I can't answer this for you, but I think I could answer by and large for the entirety of the church. Are we in one accord? I think we put on a good show. But I wonder if Jesus walked in here tonight, what kind of a grade he would give us in being in one accord. Because we let this little thing and that little thing and the other little thing. Well, pastor didn't speak to me today. Well, here's a clue. That's probably going to happen more and more as we grow. Because they get 5 minutes is all I get for family time. What in the world? We got 1 minute tonight for family time. What are you supposed to do with 1 minute? Nobody even got up. Knock it off. Church, yeah. We've got to learn, church, how to become in one accord. We got to learn how to pluck up the roots of the things that the enemy would use, a root of division. We got to learn how to pluck them up. Listen to me. I'm going to just say this, okay? I don't care what kind of an offense you have with anybody in the world. You need to deal with it. You need to get it behind you. And you need to move forward. Because unless that happens, we're never going to be in one mind. We're never going to be in one accord. Well, I was offended. Well, get over it. I've been offended too. I've been accused. I've been offended. I've been betrayed. I've been all of that. But I got to put that stuff behind me. And I got to walk forward. I got to keep my eyes on the cross. I got to keep my eyes on the only hope I have. And that's Jesus. I can't be nurturing all these little attitudes that I've got. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Well, you just don't know. You're right, I don't. But I know what happened to me. I know I've used this illustration 100 times before, but I'm going to say it again. When somebody tells you that the devil has your head mounted on a wall as a trophy and there's no hope for you, that'll cause offense. You can get your tail in a knot. You can get an attitude. But we've got to deal with it. We got to get that stuff behind us because I want for the power of the Holy Ghost to move freely in this house. Amen. I want when people come to this altar, I want to know that everybody that's praying is in one accord. You know that the Bible says that we're not to be quick to lay hands on others? Don't be quick. There's reasons for that. We got to be prayed up. We got to be in one mind. We got to be in one accord. It's how the early church prayed. Too many of us pray only occasionally. Too many of us pray only occasionally when we feel like it. Or here's one, maybe we pray when it's a crisis. Let me just tell you something. If you haven't been communicating with the Father on the off days, what makes you think He's going to listen to you when you're in the midst of a crisis? Here's one. If you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart, I got news for you, sister, brother, mother, father, son, whoever you are. I got news for you. Your prayers are going to go that high. And then they're going to just slam up against the ceiling. Because the heavens are shut over you. According to God's word, the heavens are shut if you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart. We got to deal with these things, church. I have to. You have to. None of us are getting out of this. I'm not preaching to anybody but me right now. If it fits you, then by all means, take advantage of it. I'm just trying to get the church to the place I believe that God wants us to be. We got to quit praying occasionally. We got to take a look into our own life. I gotta allow God to get the plank out of my eye, Benny, so I can see to get the speck out of your eye. I gotta clean up my backyard before I go worrying about your backyard. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. That is God's command. That's not a suggestion. It's not something that we ought to maybe think about doing. It's a command from the throne room of God. Pray without ceasing. I'm not talking about walking around mumbling prayers under our breath. I'm talking about that we should be constantly in fellowship with God so that prayer is as normal to you and I as breathing. If we learn, church, to pray like that, we will begin to see the miraculous take place in this house. I believe it. I believe it. This isn't to suggest that God is reluctant to answer prayers and that we must wear Him out by our constant praying. In fact, the opposite is absolutely true. God enjoys answering our prayers. He enjoys it. But He sometimes delays the answers to our prayers to increase our faith and our devotion and to accomplish His purposes at the right time. Now here's something going to be crazy. Only us old people are going to know about this. Does anybody remember layaway? Layaway was before everybody had plastic. I can remember my mom going into Montgomery and Ward's and J.C. Penney's and Woolworth's in Roseburg and having all this stuff and going to and I remember I was so confused as a kid because all this stuff's in the basket. None of it came home with us. What in the world? This is a new kind of shopping we're doing here. We go and get all this stuff and we put it in the basket. We take it to the nice lady behind the counter. And she takes it all and we can get none of it back. It's all gone. Well, son, that's layaway. Mom and Dad don't have the money right now to pay for all that, but that's stuff that we want to be able to have for you kids. And so every week, every month, every time I get a little extra money, I take it in there and I put it down on that. And the next thing you know, I get to bring it home, and it's called layaway. And the anticipation built all the time. Not today. Not today. We pay three times as much for that on a piece of plastic. Because of the interest we pay. We get instant gratification. Listen, God is not about instant gratification. Some of the things that we put up for prayer requests, He puts them on layaway. Because on layaway, if you in the process of the layaway process get tired of the process, pardon me? It's in God's time, but in the process of it, if you quit paying for that, it goes away. It goes away. If in the process of our praying, if we quit praying, what happens? Church, we are to pray without ceasing. We're to pray. We're to be devoted. And we're to not quit. I want to challenge you tonight to go home. Take some time. Take a look in the mirror. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to begin to speak to you. to maybe begin to reveal some things that might be holding you back. Better yet, some things that might be holding God back from meeting your need. Got to ask yourself some tough questions. Am I harboring unforgiveness in my heart? Do I freely love each and every one? Do I have animosity? Has a root of bitterness began to grow in my spirit? If it has, ask God by His Holy Spirit to pluck that sucker up. Pluck it up, man. You don't need it. You not only do you not need it, you don't want it. You know why? Because it will hinder the moving of God in your life. How many of you would just like to be able to just pray to God and bam, He just show up and answer your prayer? Wouldn't that be awesome? I think it would be. And I think it's a lot closer than any of us think if we will personally do the work necessary to make that happen. It starts with us. Get the 4x6 out of your eye. Get the 4x6, the 2x4, whatever you got. Get it out of your eye so that you can see clearly. Clean up your backyard. Don't worry about your neighbor's backyard. You clean up your backyard. You make sure that there's nothing within you that would stop God from moving. And if we as a church, this should be preached on Sunday morning, but if we as a church will do that, can I just tell you something? This group that's here tonight can affect everyone on Sunday morning. If we'll come into this place Sunday morning prayed up, if we'll do what I'm asking you to do, what I don't believe I'm asking you. I believe because I asked the Lord to speak through me. And I believe the Lord is challenging the church. I mean, everybody that's watching by way of the internet, I don't pray and asking the church, get right. Get right. T.D. Jakes had that sermon years ago. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm telling you, it's coming back around. We got to get ready. We got to get ready. We're seeing too many things prophetically take place right now today. Church, we got to get ready. We got a huge job to do. I believe it could happen just like that if we will get in line. If we will surrender our whatever. You know, not necessarily our attitudes, but if we will surrender our lives, yeah, we're saved. We're saved. We get that. But if I'll surrender my life, say, God, I want to pray. I want to learn how to pray. I want when people call me on the phone and say, Pastor, oh, I need your prayer. I want to be like Jesus and the disciples. And when you meet me on the street and you say, Pastor, I need you to come to my house. My child's dying. And okay, I'll be there as soon as I can. And you just go home and I already have prayed. I've already talked to the Lord about that. And when you get home, your child's already healed. Isn't that what Jesus did? Didn't He say the things that I do, you will do, and even greater things than these will you do? Why? Because I go to my Father. And He went to the Father and He said, listen, I'm going to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you guys alone. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to send to you the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Ghost. To live and dwell inside of you and empower you, endue you with power. He said, I will endue you with power. How many of us have that power? Do we have that power? Are we exercising it? Are we using it? Are we praying in the Holy Ghost? Are we reading God's Word? Not just like it's a great storybook, but it's the Word of God. Do we believe what we're reading? Do me a favor. Stand up. Everybody kind of work toward the middle and hold hands with somebody. Come on. Come on. I think the sound booth will probably handle itself for just a minute if you guys want to. RJ, grab on them right there. Ron, grab them back there. Come here, sweetheart. I'll hold your hand. I ain't afraid of you. Oh, here. Come on. Hold it. We got a splinter group over there. Get over here. RJ and Gene, you guys need to suck it up and get over and hold hands with each other. I want this to be a connected group. Listen, straighten up back there. The Bible says that where any two agree touching any one thing on earth, it'll be done in heaven. So God, tonight, I love you, Lord, and I know personally that I haven't spent the time in prayer that I should. And Father God, tonight, I just pray for this body. I pray for this church. I pray, God, for every person that's listening, watching by way of the internet. God, I pray that you would, the disciples walked with you for 3.5 years, and they said, teach us to pray. Honestly, did they not pick anything up? Did they not glean anything from what you did? Lord, teach us to pray. We've got your Word. We've got your Holy Spirit. We've got where you taught the disciples how to pray. God, teach us to pray. Teach us to the validity of prayer. Teach us the value and the importance of clearing out our lives and putting unforgiveness far behind us, O God. Let the love of the Lord rule and reign every one of our lives, O God. Help us, Jesus, to communicate with you, to read your Word, God, to fellowship with you, God, that when people come across our path, we can lay hands on them and see them recover. God, that we would begin to walk in the things that I do, you'll do, and even greater things than these shall you do. Help us to walk in that, Lord God. Help us to get our lives into a place where we can walk in that, O God. Lord, bring forgiveness to us, Lord God. Lord, redeem us once again, afresh and new, Lord. God, I pray the blood of Jesus over our minds, souls, spirits, bodies, wills, over our very lives, O God, that you would wash us and renew us, restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. God, create in us a clean heart. Lord, renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from thy presence, O God. Lord, help us to walk and talk and fellowship with you and commune with you. Learn from you. Help us to forgive like you forgave. Help us to love like you loved. Help us to learn that you didn't do anything that you didn't hear from the Father. Help us, O God, to learn to not say and do all these things just on our own. I got this one. God, take a break. Lord, help us as your children to rely on you, O God. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you, church. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you back here on Wednesday. Amen. Good night.